During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale. Right.
We are back. Matt Chat is back. So excited. We missed last week, but we are happy to talk about episode 4 and 5 here with Rachel Lamont, winner of Survivor 47. How are you?
Hi, Tag. I'm good. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Me too.
We got to see each other at RHAP. It was really fun. I got to play your new game, Puzzle Hungry. Part of it. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
I lost.
It was just a little snack, you know. That wasn't the full game. I'm sure when you get to play the full game, you'll have, you know, it'll ebb and flow. And yeah.
How's it going with that?
It's so good. I mean, everyone has been so amazing. And you know, we met our goal and we're just trying to hit stretch goals now. So, like, you know, every time we hit a stretch goal, it's like free stuff, upgrades to the game, extra stuff. I think we're going after a really cute little sushi maki pin right now. So just a couple $1,000 away from that. So yeah, it's been awesome. And if you haven't checked it out, you definitely should. So yeah, playresolve.com is the place to go. And yeah, I don't know, Japanese food, puzzles, double-sided puzzles. It's you know, it's Survivor-esque. It just has nothing to do with Survivor.
No, but it's so, a couple of years ago for Christmas, I brought a bunch of my, Survivor puzzles to my family that does not watch Survivor. And I flew down with like my 20 Vexel puzzles or whatever.
Yeah.
And my family, they love puzzles. And so all of them were just like sitting around the table, like doing these Survivor puzzles, never watched a moment of the show. And
yeah,
yet like really trying to do these puzzles. I'm very excited. I got, not to brag, I bought one. So when it comes, a Puzzle Hungry is going to come my way, but I'm going to, my cousin who's obsessed with puzzles, it's like the perfect birthday gift for her. So
I love that.
Very excited about it.
Yeah. I think it'll be really cool. Cause it's, you know, even you're like saying with Survivor puzzles that people don't even watch Survivor. Well, you know, everyone who doesn't think like sushi is cute and like little nigiri, you know? So I think even if you're not interested in playing the game, there's 19 puzzles in the game that you can just like play with them. They're fun. Yeah. So, yeah. So you got to get on board, be as cool as Tegwith and me, you know, and
period. Well, we have some people in the comments. I just want to say, Neo, Kuro says, Rachel, I love you. You're my favorite winner.
Thank you. That's so nice.
That. A lot of people in the comments are loving you, Rachel. So I'm so happy to talk with you about episode 4 and 5. So how are you feeling first off overall with this season? I know that some people are down, including me, shocking. Not because of the people. I just think the editing is not.
Yeah, it's never because of the people, right? It's a lot of the repetition, a little bit of, you know, the new era, the format. Mm. I am very excited that we got a 2-tribe swap. I low-key wish that we would have gotten like the 3-3-1 and the 3-3-1 because I think that would have been so interesting. But you know, we'll take it. And even just the challenge, watching 2 tribes instead of 3, like I am higher after the last episode. I think it was a good one for the season. But you just hate to see the same disaster tribe over and over again. It sucks. Like thinking about the fact that Jeremiah on any other season would have made the merge, would have been fine. You know, like things like that is really hard when you really like the show and you really want people to have like a fair shot, you know? And so it's just, yeah, like I think Alex said in this episode, like I've had one coconut. It's like day what, 8, you know, of course they're losing. Like, like when you have to expend a couple hundred calories to bash a coconut on a rock, lose all the water and then like hope that it's not rotten when you open it. It's tragic, you know? Yeah. So I agree. I'm not the highest on it, but I think that this is my favorite episode of the season so far. So,
oh, we love that. Okay, that's great. Yeah. And I think you're right. Like seeing a 2-tribe format, especially since we haven't seen one in how many years? Like maybe since David? No, not David versus Goliath. I think it was maybe 38.
Well, Winners at War, right?
Oh, that, okay, you're right, you're right. Winners at War, yeah. Winners at War. But like, that's been a long time since we've seen two people. And this is the most we've seen, most people we've seen on a tribe before the merge.
Right.
Since then, because seven people on a tribe, we only ever see six.
Yes.
So like, it's really interesting. And I do think that you're right. I do wish in a perfect world, we would have had a little bit more interesting breakdowns. A 3-3-1 would have been really interesting. Or honestly, even like, you know how sometimes there are the really random ones where like everyone stays together and then one person is added or something mm-hmm. like that. I think that that would have been more interesting than what we're seeing, because I do think the last like 15 minutes of, I just rewatched the episode today. The last 15 minutes of the episode, I just think we're like dragging outside of
yeah.
council because I just was like, okay, well, it's either going to be Jason or Matt and we'll see.
Right I mean, I think before we even went to the commercial break, before the strategy, before tribal, it was already between Matt and Jason. I'm pretty sure like someone said in confessional like, well, it's between those two, and yeah. then we went to commercial, came like, yeah, it's just, it is just a little bit stale in that way. But it's also like, that is the thing about Survivor, is that it is real and there is no like, so a lot of times that is the dynamic. It's like, well, you are outnumbered. Sophie did integrate herself with the majority, and so you can't pull her. That was kind of your shot, you know, the two Hinas. And I'm going totally out of order, but
no,
sorry.
But let's talk about yeah. that. Let's talk about Sophie specifically, with an I, Sophie B. Doing, I mean, she did a pretty good job at integrating mm-hmm. herself into the larger majority. We had Savannah say, this is somebody that I feel like is my friend from back mm-hmm. home, and I immediately connected with her. We have Nate being like, literally one of my favorite things that happened in the episode. And when I watched the episode on Wednesday, I was in the midst of a migraine haze, so I wasn't really paying a ton of attention. And then all of a sudden, Sophie makes the analogy. She's like, I'm a lost puppy, like someone mm-hmm. in the home. And then cut to 6 minutes later, Nate going, we need to find her a home. I lost my mind. Whatever was left in my mind, I like lost it. I was like, that's nuts that he did that. But she did do such a good job at really making herself a part of the majority. How do you think that it's easy to do because there is such a big Hina Uli split, or what do you think?
I don't think it's easy to do, because I think that in this configuration of a tribe of seven, they don't need her, right? They have four. So in if she was not appealing to them, they don't have to pick her up. They don't, you know, I mean, I think in this larger Hina versus Uli thing, of course they want to pick up the swing votes for the long term, but it just, if they didn't like her, they wouldn't have picked her up, you know? And they could have just as easily picked up Matt or Jason if they felt good about them. And so you have to give credit to Sophie. You saw her at the beginning. She talked to Jason and Matt. She talked, you know, she was kind of feeling it out. And I think she very quickly recognized that, yeah, this majority group is the group that not only is smart numbers wise, but also is the one that I am actually like very easily fitting into. And as much as she is, you know, a lost puppy, being able to pitch yourself that way, being able to look, and I mean, she said, you know, I'm not that strong, but I'm really loyal, you know, and is she? We don't know. Like she just stabbed Jeremiah in the back in a way. So it's like, she's not actually maybe that loyal, but she's doing a really good job of branding herself that way and presenting herself that way. And those are kind of the things that sometimes as viewers, we kind of glaze over. We're like, well, duh. But no, when you're out there, you have to be aware of like how you look to this group, how you want to present yourself, what's the most appealing way to present yourself. She can't go in, and if she looks too threatening, they're going to think she's, you know, there's so many things. Even the way, think about the way Jason was talking, where he's like, Savannah, I'll protect you. I'll like tell the other Hinas that they won't target you. And she's immediately like, well, he's in bed with the Hinas. He has no desire to, you know, the things you say and the way you say them give a lot more information than just the words that are coming out of your mouth. And you have to be really careful. And I think Sophie did a really good job of pitching herself in a way that appealed to Savannah and Nate, who are very different people, right? Mm-hmm. Well, a girl that could be her bestie and a guy that could be your dad. Like those yeah. are very different things. And Yeah, big props to Sophie for being able to really kind of get in with the group so quickly. I mean, Nate, I was so surprised. I had a feeling that her and Savannah would hit it off, but the fact that Nate was like crying and she's like comforting him and he's like, she is just like so important. This is like the second day. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And it is, it is so interesting that I think one of the things, one of the reasons why I love the social game of Survivor so much and why I give so much props to a very good social game is you can't really show it that well on TV, because how are you gonna, like, what are, okay, we're talking about things, we're whatever. And I think that when you do get a glimpse of an incredible social game, like we were seeing this episode with Sophie, it's so fun. And it's so great to really kind of feel that, so like really kind of see that in action, because mm-hmm. you don't always get to see that. And yeah. you saw it so well. And I really think that she did do an incredible job. And also, like, speaking to a couple of episodes ago, you're right. Words, the way you present information has a lot of, like, it really can sway somebody one way or the other. And I really remember very vividly Matt, when he went to MC and he was like, hey, we're three, do you want to be the fourth? And it's like, there are ways that you could absolutely bring somebody into what is a three-person group without being like, hey, we're three, come on in. And
hey, you're the fourth. Would you like to be our fourth? Would you like to be four out of four?
It's just like, and so there are very clear ways that you can do it well and you can do it poorly. And we've seen that in the last like couple of episodes. And it's very, very interesting how you're right. It does look so easy, but it's not as easy as some people may make it look.
Yeah. And especially because it's not just what you're saying, but it's also everybody has a heightened level of paranoia. So they're reading into everything you're saying, even if you're saying it really perfectly. And so just being able to kind of like mitigate any kind of extrapolation that they will make on what you're saying, like, it's such a mind game. And it's one of the things that when you're starving and you're tired, like, it's made even harder. And I agree with you that it's so difficult to kind of show those really strong social games, because seeing a couple conversations is just, it's the, like, the surface level. It's the, you know, the most shallow thing when it goes so much deeper than that.
Yeah. And I do also want to talk a little about Matt here. Matt obviously ended up being voted out here. And I want to talk about specifically Savannah and Matt's interaction that we saw, where Savannah was like pulling information out of Matt. Mm-hmm. How do you think, like, if you are Matt in that situation, can you read? I felt like he didn't really play that in the way that I probably would have, because he was like, oh man, no one has asked me this. How can I say this? And I feel like if he had just, it's almost like, you remember a couple of months ago, that Coldplay concert, that couple?
Yeah. How could I forget?
But they, I feel like if they just acted normal and they didn't like make a big deal out of it, it wouldn't be this whole, you know, phenomenon.
Yes.
And I feel like the same way about Matt in that situation, where Matt was like making kind of a big deal. And Savannah then could make even a bigger
deal. Wait, are you talking about the career thing? Sorry.
I'm just making sure.
Okay. Yeah. I completely agree. I just think, and look, we're seeing these things a little bit out of context, little snippets. So I don't want to like be too hard on Matt, but the way he even presented the information of like, oh yeah, this is what I did before. I wasn't hiding it from anyone. I wasn't trying to hide it. I was just, no one's asked this whole time. And it's just like, that to me reads defensive. Like, you're, it's like being like, hey, Tegwith, like, not to be a bitch, but like, I'm definitely about to be a bitch, right?
Yeah.
So it's like being like, I'm not trying to hide anything from you. I'm not trying to be like deceptive. It's like, well, clearly you've thought about this and you probably were hiding it. So, you know, and I think it's just not giving people fuel to doubt you even further. Like, if he would have just said it and then they're like, oh, that's kind of like, oh, you didn't tell us that before. He's like, oh yeah, like, I just didn't think to mention it. Like, whatever. Just downplay it instead of kind of calling it out or making it like somebody else's fault. No one's asked me, you know. Yeah. It just felt like the wrong way. It was already pivoting in a bad direction, and sometimes that happens and you can't help it. But then he just like continued to go in the bad direction instead of just kind of like cutting it off.
Yeah. Now, do you think in the new era, we're seeing a lot of people, and this happened before the new era. I don't want to, this is not an only new era thing, but we're seeing a lot of people lie or deceive or leave out information about things in their life. And sometimes it works, aka Kyle. And then sometimes it doesn't necessarily work, where I truly believe that if Annie had been upfront about being a CEO of a company and been like upfront about, hey, this is a thing that in my life, I tell people what to do and I don't want to bring that here. And if that, whatever. I think that if she had been more upfront about that, it wouldn't have been as big of a deal that she was quote unquote bossy. Doesn't mean that it would have saved her in the game, but I just don't
think. Yeah. Yeah.
To go on that tangent. Do you think that, number one, I have two questions. Did you hide anything or about your life that you felt like could be, you know, a big deal? And following up, do you think that's a good strategy that so many people are adopting now? Or do you think that's something that people should kind of get away from?
Yeah, I didn't hide anything. I mean, I'm a graphic designer. I mean, I didn't say like, actually I did. Yeah. No, I said I worked at a, you know, automotive company. I'm a graphic designer. A lot of people on my season lied. And I don't, honestly, I don't think it made sense for anyone. And I think like in the case of John Lovett, it might've hurt him, you know, like if he was like, I got Obama on speed dial, I think people would think twice, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah. I think that I get the risk of sounding like you're too rich or too intelligent or whatever, but they're going to figure it out. And I think that you're always trying to kind of minimize anything that might make you stand out a little bit. And I certainly, you know, you try to downplay your intelligence, you try to downplay things in different ways by just not, I don't know. I can't think of a specific example, but you know, you're not trying to be like, I'm so freaking smart. You know, Sam got a 35 on his ACT. Like he wasn't going around telling people that.
Right.
But it just, I think that there's a difference between that where you're kind of downplaying a little bit and then just straight up lying about who you are, where you come from, like a huge part of your life. I think it really does. And you get caught in it a lot. Like Andy and Sam both tried to act like they didn't really know Survivor very well.
Andy tried to act like that?
Well, for like a day, you know, and then like they couldn't help themselves. There would be some talk about Survivor. I think Andy was like, I know New Era Survivor really well, but I don't know much else. And then Sam just in general tried to just be like, yeah, I'm like a okay fan. I only applied once, you know, kind of thing. And just, but then we would be in these discussions when we were bored and then Sam would be like, yeah, but he was like the fifth boot on Nicaragua. So like, and I was like, yeah, not a big fan. Like, and so like, you just, it's really hard once you like say something and make a declarative statement that is just false to keep it up the whole time. Like you just, it's hard. And so I do think there's this trend. I mean, again, who else is lying here? We know Savannah's lying. Nate's lying.
Yep. There was somebody else. I can't, other than Matt, I think that there was somebody else that was, ooh, it'll come to me.
Yeah. In general though, I don't think.
Well, Rizzo's not telling anybody that Riz God is his legal given name. So that's a big lie.
Yeah, I don't think it's a really good idea to do. There is like a weird meta with the lawyer thing at this point. And I do think that maybe that's the only one that is worth lying about, because particularly in the new era, I don't know the exact stats. Rob's fact checker, check me. But I feel like there's been like a dozen-ish lawyers and like 90% of them have made the merge and gone very deep. And so for whatever reason, that one seems to like sort of have this weird self-fulfilling thing happening. But aside from and lawyers in general, I still think just have a bad rap, which is crazy. Like, you know, Genevieve literally like does contract paperwork. She's not like an attorney fighting in court. And so like it doesn't say much about you. But for whatever reason, that is the only profession that I think has any like anything that would make you kind of maybe stand out in a way that you don't want to. There's an implication about your income. There's an implication about your intelligence. But even like we look at it here, Nate, Jawan is like so into superhero stuff. And like, maybe if they could actually talk about it, they would be a better relationship.
Yep.
And like Sue, she lied. She didn't tell us she was a pilot. Tiana is literally in pilot school right now. Like, it's just like things like that, that by lying, you're cutting off an entire avenue of connection with somebody and potentially opening a different one that you're like, fuck, I don't actually have any interest in this or whatever, you know? And now I don't think it's smart. I don't think it's necessary.
I think that like Survivor is a game of deception, right? Like, you know, Sage's hot take was there's no such thing as an honest game of Survivor, which I really agree with, because I think that it's a game of deception. But I think if you can tell the truth, I think you should.
I agree.
As much as you possibly can, because I think I think that number one, lying and deceiving people takes a toll on like its energy, right? You have to actively think, hey, I have to keep up this lie. And in a game where you don't have a lot of energy, you don't have a lot of food, you're not sleeping well, you're expending all of your energy at doing puzzles or doing these challenges, I don't think that you need to expend more mental energy trying to keep up a lie throughout the entire game. I just don't think that that is something that is worth it. But I do think that the lawyer thing has kind of come, because also now Ashley on Big Brother lied. She lied about being a lawyer and she won. She didn't say she was a lawyer. So now it's become like this like lore.
It's weird how that happens.
It's really, really weird.
And it's a coincidence, guys. Like, just to be clear, like, there is nothing about being a lawyer that necessarily makes you good at any of these social deduction games. It is just a weird pattern that we're seeing with these players that have been cast. And I mean, look, they're casting a disproportionate number of, I mean, what, 45 had three lawyers. Like, that's so unnecessary. That is a sixth of the cast. So of course, statistically, they're going to get kind of far, right? But there's no actual, there's so many kinds of lawyers. There's not like, it just doesn't, there's no real connection there. But I do think that at some point the meta becomes the thing. And that's the only one.
So my friend on the internet, he makes content. He's very funny. His name is Patrick. He's a big Survivor fan and that's how we connected. And he actually came up with a theory, like a strategy for future seasons that I think is actually very genius, where if there's somebody on your tribe that you're not getting along with, and you just like think that should be out of the game, spread the rumor that they're lying about being a lawyer. I don't know. I'm getting something sus about this person. Like, I just feel like, I don't know. Do you think this guy's a lawyer? And then like spread that lore around.
That's so funny. That's so funny. Well, I mean, look at Savannah, right? You know, making what feels like a mountain out of a molehill with Matt very intentionally. And I don't really follow too much. I haven't this week, but I saw like a tweet from Savannah that said, like, I don't care what your profession is. If I don't like you, like, I'm making it a big freaking deal. You know, it's just like, yeah, that's good gameplay in the sense that you should use anything you can to kind of bury anyone that you're against.
Hey, use all the tools in the tool belt if you can. Now I do have a question. So speaking of Savannah, I thought that it was, we're seeing a lot of really like upfront and really powerful gameplay from her in the sense that like, I think that she is, while she hasn't gone to tribal council a lot, I do think that she takes the initiative. And we saw that in this episode where she's like, let's just like dig for this idol without, you know, raising it around.
It's very interesting.
Is that something that like, do you think that I feel like normally people would be mad about that. Like, I think that maybe Rizzo and Savannah are so close and she's like, he'll be fine. But like, that was a really, I don't think we've ever seen anybody be like, hey, let's find this guy's idol for him, basically.
Yeah. Not in a way that's not trying to be deceptive. Like I'm reminded of like Shan and Ricard trying to get like Jeannie to not go get the idol and then Shan goes and takes it. But they could have talked about it beforehand, right?
And That's true.
We just aren't being shown that because it's more dramatic this way. But yeah, I mean, I think that also might be a little bit of a symptom of not having gone to tribal yet. Like you haven't had to face any kind of real scrambling, any kind of real consequence, any of the true paranoia that comes with Survivor if you've been living in Fiji for, you know, whatever, I don't know what day it is, eight or something, eight, yeah, and not been to tribal yet. So maybe it's just kind of like, well, what's he going to do? You know? Yeah. And so I think that I'm sure that she would think twice about it if they were in a different circumstance. Mm-hmm. But again, they could have talked about it, you know?
So. Yeah. I just think that it was just so funny where she was like, let's just do it. And she was like, these boys are talking and strategizing. Yeah. We need to move.
We didn't come to the well to talk. We came to dig for this damn idol. Like,
it's so funny.
Yeah.
Now he got his vote back and everything was like all fine. Do you think that this could be something that could bite him in the future where his entire tribe knows he has an idol so much so that people are digging for it for him? Or do you think that this is something that could help him? Because I mean, we saw last season Eva had a very public idol and it ended up working out for her because people were scared to vote for her because they didn't want it to be rehidden and maybe possibly, you know, go to their enemy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But do you think that this could help or hurt Rizzo?
It's really hard to say. I think it just depends. I think Rizzo is the kind of player who's sort of like Eva, very young, comes off as like slightly naive, and I think can get away with having that kind of, you know, it's for the family, parents, you know, like I think that mm-hmm. it's sort of, you believe him when he talks and he's so earnest that you're less threatened by it. I think if he was like a little bit more of a shifty, more powerful, like if it was Nate's idol, I wonder if the dynamic would be different, because I just think that when people don't look at you as an authority, they have a very different perspective on everything you say and do. And that includes, you know, if you have a little bit of power, do I actually care? Like, it's okay. It's Rizzo, you know, yeah, versus somebody else. So I also think I'd love to talk more about this kind of like Hina Uli battle thing. And I think as long as if that is truly how they're all thinking, well, then okay, it is okay, right? Because we are going to use it for us and whatever. Mm-hmm. And when that disintegrates, because of course it will at some point, that changes everything. But until then, again, neither of these tribes have gone to tribal. They're right. Still very much in the like, we're a unit and we did it. And I think that also really changes the perspective of things like where the power sits.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't seen a tribal rivalry like this before, where they're really openly talking about, like, you know, rolling their eyes at each other at the mat when they're arriving, and really kind of, it feels like, I used to do a youth leadership seminar thing growing up. You go like 1 year and then you would go back, and I volunteered many, many years doing this, and it's called Hobie, if anybody out there's done it, very fun. But you are put into small groups and your colors, and all of a sudden you get put in these arbitrary groups and you are now like, everyone is your enemy in the sense that I love, like, they're great or whatever else, but it's like, you're not me and now we are against. And it felt like a summer camp thing. It felt like the Wit and Hina and Uli are like, they're like against each other so much. Do you watch Australian Survivor?
Yes, not every season, but I have watched Australia versus the World.
Well, the one before Australia versus the World. Yeah, what was that? Titans versus
Rebels.
Yeah, I think maybe or something. There was this guy. What was his name? Gosh, it was letters. Whatever. He basically, there was a tribe swap, and I saw somebody post this online. This is how I got the idea. There was a tribe swap, and he basically was like, well, we're in the majority on this tribe over here. If you guys don't like throw this challenge, these three people, we're going to knock them off one by one by one. We're holding them hostage. And basically it was a way to force the other tribe to lose immunity. In a way that, like, where truly one of the, like, they have 4-2-1. So there's a majority on each tribe. Could we have seen somebody do that? Do you think it's a good idea to kind of force somebody's hand like that?
Okay. So what you're saying is that in this configuration, Uli says to Hina, we have the majority. We're going to knock off Jason or Matt if you don't lose. But then if the other tribe loses, aren't they just sacrificing Shannon or Sage?
Yeah, and that's what the other people said. So like, but you guys are in a minority on this side. What are you guys trying to do here? Like, yeah, so it is, it's one of those like risky things, but it's a way to, I guess, I think in Australian Survivor, if I remember correctly, his alliance were all together.
So he didn't care
as much about the other tribe, if I'm remembering correctly. But it like kind of worked and kind of didn't. It's a really weird strategy, but it's something that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that, but I don't know if that's actually beneficial. It's just kind of a really crazy out there strategy, but
yeah, I like the out of the box thinking. I think that there's always the risk of just kind of like socially getting people. I think you do something like that, and then one of those players gets through to merge and they're like, screw you know, like, and have like a real strong, have really strong negative feelings towards you. I think it's always in your best interest on Survivor to essentially maintain as decent as possible relationships. Even this like Hina Uli battle down the line, any of them can be like, well, that's what we had to do, you know, but you single someone out, you call them out, you make them feel small or isolate them. And now they have like a very personal reason to come back after you that you can't just chalk up to, well, of course we had to stick with our numbers. So yeah, I love the out of the box thinking, but yeah, I think that it's always a little risky. I do wonder what else they could have done. I mean, they had, who has the idol on Hina?
MC.
So I guess if MC really... Yet, but... Oh, right. Because they have to lose. Okay. Because I was like, I want to see some like exchanges of idols in some capacity, like in, and they don't let us interact, but like, could you be so bold as to just like chuck your idol to the person? You know, I really, and this would have never happened because he would have never given it to me, even if it was real, but I didn't know Sam's idol was expired. And when I got swapped with the Tukus, there was like a huge part of me that was like, I have to like ask him for it. Like I need to just try and get it from him. And yeah, there's not really any.
I think that there's something, but I will say like talking about Survivor as a, the product, I do think that it's silly that they don't let, that is one of the things that I think I don't prefer. I have the hot take that I think American Survivor, even in the new era, is better than Australian Survivor. People very much disagree with me in the comments. They get mad at me when I say that, but I truly, truly believe that. One of the couple of things that I think Australian Survivor does better is I do like that they allow and kind of encourage cross communication on the mats. I think it causes a little bit of chaos. We've seen on Australian Survivor people pass idols to each other. I think it is really fun, and I think it's something that I wish American Survivor would adopt a little bit more, because you have, maybe it builds animosity, maybe it builds bonds, I don't know, but I think it's fun TV.
I agree, and I think that it gives more avenues for out of the box thinking and like interesting strategy. And there are, just to be clear, it's not just, it's like forbidden, you know, like we are not allowed to walk over to each other. Like the Survivor social that happened on my season, the whole thing was like, this is where you get to bond because you run the reward and therefore you get to talk to people from the other tribe. Like no one else gets that. It's not allowed. And so like, it's very ingrained in the current, you know, whatever era we're in now. Yeah. I don't love it either. Cause I think that there are like, imagine me going and hugging Sam and being like, give me your idol. And even if he was not with me, but like, maybe he would have given it to me because it's fake. It doesn't matter. And yeah, then I would have played completely differently thinking it was real. And like, it would have been this whole crazy thing that could have happened if you just let me give him a hug, you know? And so it's weird. I think pre a tribe swap, I guess it's not that weird because like, why would you ever go over to a tribe that you haven't met? That would be kind of odd. But once you've done it and once there is like cross like bonds, I just think it makes good TV. I really do. And they're allowing like the bench talking during challenges now. So it's like, you're not completely banning it. So what is the, I don't know. I think they just, maybe they want you to have to take huge risks. Like, if you want to talk to someone over there, you got to just yell it out and like let everybody hear what you want to say, you know? And there was a lot of that during our season of like, you would like mouth to somebody else on the mat. There's a couple times before we sent people on the journey, I was like to Teenie, I was like, are you okay? Like, are you in a good position? And Teenie was like, yeah. And we were like, okay, good. We're gonna make you go. And he was like, that's not what I wanted. We're like, well, sorry. So I think that things like that do happen. But then I don't actually know if this is true or not. I should ask her. But someone had said, I think Sierra had said that Annika was like, Rachel talks too much to people on the other mat. So like, see, it even within things, like it causes some drama that can, you know, you look like you're trying to connect with other people that like aren't your people. Why? I think it would make good TV.
I think it would make good TV. I mean, obviously it's a game, but it's also like, you know, a television product. We want good TV as well. So I think there's a way that you could bring it in.
And it's fair. As long as everyone can do it, it's fair. I don't understand why it hurts the game in any capacity.
I agree. I mean, maybe the only reason is they want it to, they want the merge to be kind of a crazy time where you can reconnect with people. But I think that, you know, waiting that long, I just think that let people do, you know, what they're going to do. And I think it'll blow back. And I think that sometimes Survivor will create situations that could potentially build bonds or create chaos.
Well, that's what the journeys are, right?
Exactly. But then I think sometimes they're missing times when it could happen organically.
Exactly.
And I just feel like, so, like bring that in. I don't know. But I think
they want it in this controlled environment when it's like, why don't you have it in the controlled environment, but also let people bury themselves? Like, what is the disadvantage of that? If Juwan's going talking to everyone because he knows he's at the bottom, what is the problem with that? Like, let him do it. And then when you get to merge, it'll be all the bigger of fireworks because they're going to be like, he's going to jump. He's jumping right now. We saw that he was going to do it before we even got here. Yep. You know, it's so much more interesting.
There was actually a quote from this episode from Rizzo that I wrote down. It says, if you're too comfortable in the position you're in, that means you need to get uncomfortable. That was something that Rizzo said in a confessional. And that is something that I think, like, if I think that people who are comfortable, they think that they're on the top of their, you know, I think they play sloppy. And I think, you know, I said this earlier, I think Matt did that. And I think if you are always on your toes and you're always kind of doing something, I don't think that you play a little bit better. And I think that if you're too comfortable, you might yell out, you might do something because you feel like you have all this power, but do you really?
Yeah,
probably not. So I think it's a way that like it could expose some people. It could make interesting TV, but I think it's Rizmo says it's more beware than the beware advantages. Yeah. Like I feel like being able to talk, like, I don't know. I think that more communication, more kind of craziness is good for the show, I think.
I agree.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about, so Steven had some interesting confessionals in this episode that I want to talk about. So we had one confessional from Steven where he was like, I really like Shannon and Sage. I think that I could vibe with them both. I think they're really, really good. And then about, or like, I think that they would both be really good to work with. And then about 15, 20 minutes later, he goes, wait, actually, Shannon, I think, is a, what did he say? I think she's a cutthroat. Shannon is a shark in a spiritual guru's body, which I think is a very interesting kind of quote from Steven, because I think we heard something similar to this from Savannah in like episode one, where Savannah was like, he is a shark. She's going to play hard, but that's what I want. I want to be able to play hard with somebody. But because now Shannon is in a different situation with different people, it's maybe being perceived in a different way. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like Shannon is working within this tribe? Because I mean, we've heard some positive things with Christina and we've heard some negative things with Steven and also Sage. So how do you feel like Shannon is maneuvering that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that clearly there is a lot of people on this new Hina tribe that are religious, and like Shannon is seeing that. And just with like the way you bond on Survivor, the way you find is you talk about everything. And then people perk up during some things and you're like, oh, that's a thing. And you just kind of glom onto it because you're looking for any thread to pull on, anything that can bring people closer to you. It's really interesting that it like, I love that Sage was with her before and is now with her again and is being like, this is not the same person as yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on? And I love that perspective because it just shows, like, kind of Shannon's game. And it is this, like, yeah, it's true to her. She is, like, very into her religion, but it wasn't working so well on original Uli. So, like, you know, we stuck with more of the meditation side of things. And now we're more with the Jesus side of things. And I think it remains to be seen. I think it's probably a bad sign if both Steven and Savannah are kind of seen through it in a way where they're like, I do like it, I think, but I kind of see what she's doing. And then seeing someone like Sage be like, it's not, maybe not the best thing because it's like a little too heavy-handed, but for now, if she is integrating herself better with this majority than Sage is, that's kind of her only goal right now. Yeah. Is I'm down in the numbers and I need to do, it's like, gotta outrun the bear. You only gotta outrun the slowest runner, you know? Like it's, and so I think that due to Sage's quirkiness and due to Shannon's ability to kind of connect a little bit better, it feels like so far it might be working, even if it's like a little hollow.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting, like seeing, because again, Survivor is a cutthroat game. A lot is going on and you are trying to find as many commonalities, as many bridges between you and these other people that you've never met before, as you possibly can, because the more you are able to connect with somebody, the more you're able to really see eye to eye about something with somebody, it means that they might think twice about getting rid of you because mm-hmm. you have those connections. Like specifically, I think about Kyle and
Camilla.
No, not Camilla. That, okay, yeah, Kyle and Camilla. It's a great one. I was thinking of, who was that guy? Joe, Kyle and Joe. But Kyle and Camilla, exactly.
Yeah.
They found a lot of commonalities and they were able to work together so well. But then we also get cut to the merge. Kyle and Joe come together and they are able to find a common sense where they're like, I don't know if I can vote for this person. I don't know if I can get that person out. And you're trying to make it as hard as possible for people. You don't want people to vote for you, obviously.
Yeah.
However you can make that happen, you got to make it happen. And I think that it's super interesting. You're totally right that Sage is able to see both sides. And will she be able to use that to her advantage? Will she be able to use that information? We don't know because Sage is in the minority here and no one is going to really care that she's changed. Maybe they're like, oh, well, now she can finally show her true self. Maybe people won't care. But I find that like fascinating where do what you can to really get people to see where you're coming from. I think Savannah's doing it really, really well, but she's also being clocked. So that's the thing. Like
Shannon.
Sorry, Shannon.
Not yeah, Savannah. Just making sure. Yeah, yeah.
There's so many S names on this season. It's very hard for me.
Crazy. I agree. And I think it's twofold. Like you mentioned the side where it's like, I want them to like me enough that they think twice about voting me out. But I think the other thing is that when you have commonality with someone, if I can have a 20-minute chat with you about something that we have in common and we're just like, oh, blah, 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 our dog, da, 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 da. And then it's like, yeah, did you see what Phil did? Like, it was kind of weird, right? Like, that is a much more natural way of strategizing when you have a foundation of commonality versus we don't have anything in common. And let's go for a walk. Like, let's go to the well. And then I'm like, oh, so what do you think about Phil? It was kind of weird when he did. Like, it's so much more like transparent that I'm just trying to kind of like railroad him or get you to think a certain way or, you know, and I think that those are also really like things that you don't see as much. And I think a lot of times people are like, why did this person not come off like well to their tribe? And it's like some people don't have the ability to kind of make it feel natural, to make it feel like they're not just I've ignored you for all day today and the 20 minutes I had with you I just tried to kind of like talk shit about other people and they aren't buying it. And it's hard to see that on TV, but it happens really like in person. It's so obvious, you know, it's so easy. And then it's when you have a billion things to talk about, then you get to kind of like splatter in strategy along the way that feels a lot more natural and organic.
I think that's, yeah. It's, I mean, it's like, you've ever been at work or whatever, and you're like, man, this guy has never once talked to me, not a single time. And all of a sudden we're best friends. What is that about? Oh, turns out they needed something.
Yeah.
Turns out they needed me to submit something. Okay. I get it. I see what's happening here. But you know, your work bestie asks you for something in the midst of all of the conversations that you have. Yeah, of course.
It's, and like, you're like, yeah, I'll do it right now. No worries.
Exactly. It could be the exact same ask. It could be the same exact thing, but it's just like, well, you know, this person never once talked to me. And now they want something, but
that's a great analogy. That's exactly how it feels. Like, I think everyone can relate to that feeling. And then taking it out there, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense why some people just are not, it looks like they're saying all the right things, but it's just not landing. And a lot of times it's because of that. It's because there's, you're missing the kind of greater context of that person's social game that is like lacking a little bit. Yeah.
It's interesting. Now I do have a question. I think that, one of my favorite parts of this episode was Sophie with an E, Sophie S. Being like, I don't want
that's food. Diet food, Jeff.
I died, first of all. Think, you know what? People are always like, we need villains. We need whatever. What I think is we need people not to agree with Jeff so much.
And I love chicken and waffles, Taglia.
That haunts me in my dreams sometimes. And this is I'm somebody who has, if you're watching this, I have a Jeff, hey, Jeff cutout in my living room, right? Love Jeff. But also, some people need to push back on Jeff sometimes. And Sophie did that. And I love that. And everyone else was like, no, I want the fruit. He's going to take it away. How amazing would it have been if Jeff was like, fine, okay, you guys don't want this. You guys are just playing for immunity. No reward. That would have been amazing. But was there a reward during your season where you were like, man, I don't actually want that? And you wanted to say it, but you didn't?
Yes-ish. So the hot dog social, we felt like we were sold a bill of goods that was not delivered on, right? So it was like, you're going to go to the sanctuary where good things happen. It's going to be hot dogs and soda. And we're like, oh, yeah. And then we get there and there are, what, I think there's 8 of us or something, like, or 7 dry, giant bun, tiny dog hot dogs. No condiments, nothing else. There's literally the banner hanging at the sanctuary had a photo of a hot dog with like condiments on it. And we're like, there's a photo of it with ketchup. Like, where is the ketchup? You know? And I just remember being like, don't choke them. Like, you're already eating a hot dog on national television. Don't choke on it. Like, because it's so dry. And people weren't happy. They didn't show it. But there was a lot of like, what the fuck? Like, this is it? We, like, people had the conception that, had the idea that it was like unlimited hot dogs, or it was at least more than one per person, that there was going to be, you know, potato salad or chips or something. Like, there was, it was just kind of sold as this big reward. And it wasn't. It was just a dry.
You guys went to Fire Festival 3.0, it seems.
We paid a little crazy. Less, I think.
I think that episode was the RHAP episode in Boston or New York or wherever it was. And I vividly remember, because my old podcast I was on was called Survivor Social. So I was freaking out that it was like Survivor Social Hour. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. And then I vividly remember like the biggest talking point of the live podcast was everyone was like, what the hell was going on with those hot dogs? Not a condiment in sight. And I think somebody was blaming it on you guys and was like, does nobody there, nobody wants to use condiments? Because they couldn't even.
We would have been like eating the ketchup out of the bottle. Like, are you joking? It's. You would have seen us all like put the condiments on and then literally probably drink out of the bottle because it was just like sugar, you know, it's just calories. Like, give it to us. And maybe that's why they didn't give it to us. But it just felt, it was pretty. That was the only one that was very like, oh, and it was kind of the first, I think that was the first food reward of the season. So it really was disappointing. You're like, I haven't eaten for like 9-10 days and so excited. And yeah. I mean, it was fine. It still tasted good, but it just, you just had it built up to be a lot more.
Of course. Of course. Now, I've always thought the fruit was not something I would want. I mean, fruit, I'm pretty sure is like, I don't know if diuretic's the right word, but it doesn't, I'm pretty sure like fruit is not good for, it's good to keep things moving. And I feel like, you know, in a, when you're not eating anything and you don't even get rice, like when you had rice, I'd be like, okay, yeah, maybe you would want some fruit. But you're not eating anything and all you're eating is coconuts. I don't know if I necessarily want more fruit on top of that.
I don't think fruit is like a bad in the sense that it's going to make you like shit yourself or something. But I would take the dry hot dog over the fruit.
The fruit. Mm-hmm. Now we have, this is an interesting question. So is the reason why Sophie is getting purpled? Like, is this the reason why Sophie is getting purpled? What do you think?
Lord, I hope not. I hope she's getting purpled because her tribe has not lost yet. And, you know, like it is just, who have we seen a lot of from Yellow? Like we got Christina's backstory.
This episode,
we got Steven's backstory in the first episode. And that's
basically heard a little bit from MC because she found the idol.
Yeah. But still, it's like, it's not like we know anything about anybody on Yellow. So it's just kind of, I don't think it's Sophie. I mean, Sophie's particularly getting like a little bit hidden, but I don't think we don't know anything about Hina, period.
Yeah.
So if it is because of the fruit, that's really messed up.
That would be crazy. That would be so petty, honestly. So petty, it's kind of iconic, but I feel like that's not it.
I don't think so. And
I think that also, as much as Jeff probably was annoyed in that moment, he probably just wants people to be excited. It made for good television. No one ever disagrees. And yeah. I think that seeing a disagreement is good because, you know, it's not everyone is like, Sophie's a free thinker. She's doing the things that she's like, you asked a question, I'm going to answer it exactly how I want to. Uh-huh. And I think that's really exciting. And she's somebody that I actually liked. I like what she's brought to the table. Her and MC specifically, what was that from episode 2 or 3? When that whole conversation with Matt, MC goes to Sophie and he's like, they're throwing out your name.
Yeah.
And Sophie's like, wow, I thought I had a pulse on this tribe. Clearly I don't. I think that was kind of a wake up call for her. And I think that there's a way that she's like using, I mean, we're not really seeing her that much, but using that information to be like, okay, I thought I was on top. I'm not. Let me kind of reorient myself to figure out what is going to be better for me in the long run. And I mm-hmm. hope that we hear more from her in the future, because I think that you know, she was also an alternate. I think that she, I don't know if you heard my, I don't know if this is a hot take, but my theory, I think that they cast really, really, really strong people as alternates. I'm not just saying this because you're here. I said this previously. Because I think an alternate has to be able to replace anybody.
Yeah.
And they have to be somebody, you can't just be somebody who's just social or just be good at challenges. They have to have a lot of different things that are good, that could be a good survivor player, because they don't know who they're going to replace. And that was my theory why Hina was winning, because they had both MC and Jason. And I think that they're both very, very strong.
Yeah. Odds are that whoever they replaced, at least one of them was much like more physically weak or, you know, whatever. It's similar to like Reba with Austin. Like, I think we've heard that the person that Austin replaced was like a much smaller man. So I think that that is, I think that that's pretty spot on. And, you know, not just because I was an alternate, but I mean, they basically, I think they said to me, like, you have to be, like, we have to be able to put you on any tribe in any position. So it is, I think they do look for like a more well-rounded person.
I'm going to say that's I'm going to take that as a win in my book. Wow. Oh my God. I was right. But I think that means that we're missing out on Sophie for whatever reason. Cause I do think that if she was an alternate, that means that she's going to be, is a strong player. And when you win, we don't really hear from you. And that's kind of the sad, but happy story, because you want to win.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a double-edged sword, I think.
Double-edged sword. Well, speaking of Hina, obviously I said Matt was the one to go. He brought up Sandra's famous strategy of anybody but me. He said he doesn't like Sandra's strategy. He didn't like how she played, but now look at me saying this, but he didn't actually do anybody but me. Mm-mm. I feel like
he did topple the Power Alliance.
What?
He did. Let's try to topple the head of the Power Alliance.
Like, yeah.
And others.
bold strategy. Yeah, yeah. Do you think if he actually did Anybody But Me, it would have worked for him? Or do you think that his name was written down way before that?
You know, it's hard to say because we just don't really know the order of operations that were, even if we're being shown a certain thing, but it seemed like Savannah in particular was pretty annoyed at Jason for not being willing to write Matt's name down. And we could talk about that too, because I thought that was really interesting. And that I believe from my perspective that Nate being the leader of this Uli Alliance and Matt specifically trying to take him out is the reason he went home. And I think that it feels like if maybe Matt had just been very chill, because he didn't just throw out Nate's, like, I felt like at Tribal, they were saying that he was throwing out like all sorts of people, you know? And so it's just, he should have just kind of been like, I know I'm in the minority. I know you're going to take out one of us. Please don't let it be me. I will vote for him, blah, blah, blah. And that's an Anybody But Me game, right?
Yeah.
And especially with Jason kind of doing the opposite and not, and being kind of difficult to work with, I think it could have worked.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Jason, so Jason was really upfront. Number one, he said, I've got so many friends back over there. I am so well connected. I'll protect you. At that moment, I was like, Jason, I love you. I do. I love Jason. I think that he's...
Me too. Hey, Asian Puzzle King, come on.
Yeah. Also, like, bringing up Kenny in 2025, icon behavior for that. And I love Kenny. I'm a big Kenny fan. I did not expect to hear Kenny's name on season 49 of Survivor. And hearing that, I was like, this is incredible. I'm best day ever. So huge Jason fan. Jason, what are you doing? My guy. I'll protect you from whom? Who are you protecting Savannah from right now? Babe, you need to be protected.
Also, it's again, it's the, think about the way Sophie B approached the majority alliance. I'm a lost puppy. Help me. Rescue me. Take me home with you. Let me work with you. Protect me. And he's like, I'll protect you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna like help you. I'm not gonna write down the person you want me to write down, but I'll protect you in the future. Don't you worry.
And as the shot in the dark queen, the woman who pioneered, you know, using the shot in the dark in crazy ways, one of a couple, he was like, I'm just gonna play it. I'm not gonna vote because I'm just gonna play it. And then he doesn't end up playing it. I feel like if you're going to say you play a shot in the dark, number one, I think you should. Mm-hmm. I think that bluff, unless somebody's like, you shouldn't. And then he's like, fine, I won't. But I feel like that whole conversation, again, edited, I'm obviously not there. That conversation felt like Savannah was like, I want to work. I want to do this with you. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm sorry. I'm playing my shot in the dark. I can't. There's nothing
I'm good. Yeah, I don't really get it. I think that maybe if everyone was like, it's you, then maybe you're like, okay, well, I'm playing my shot in the dark, so maybe it shouldn't be me. You know, like, I feel like you can use that as leverage.
Right.
I just think if someone is giving you a name, even if you want to play, you can still play it. Yeah. You could just tell them that you're voting with them to try to like win them over, you know, and get a better read on, am I actually the person or is it actually Matt? Because it wasn't him. So he didn't need to be doing that. So right. It just, and again, it's so tough. Like, for all we know, Jason's like, they're lying to me. I am the boot. Like, so I'm just going to try to, like, you know, he said, like, I want to be the rattlesnake. I want to be the crab in the hole with the claws out. And if he's doing that because he genuinely believes he's the boo, then okay, like, you can't really fault him for that. But I, from what we were seeing, it was so clearly Matt, which again is very easy from the couch. I'm not right. It's so much harder to know out there. But he did ultimately vote for Matt, so it's like, you, I don't know. Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, do you think that after all of this he did end up voting for Matt? Is now, do you think he's now in the good graces of everybody else? Or no. I feel like it's a
no,
little,
he's next.
Little too late. Yeah.
Yeah. If they go back to Tribal next week, he's gone. So he's it's gone. Just, it's a bummer. Cause with some of those things you get like kind of the one shot. And I think that was the one shot and it was sort of a miss. Yeah.
You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to play. Cause opportunity only comes once in a lifetime. I don't know who said that, but it sounds
like
right.
No one from Detroit.
Um, One thing I will say about this is I have another, I don't know if this is a hot take or a weird theory of going out on Survivor, but I always think that, and I think Erica actually brought this up. I had thought this for a while, and then Erica talked about the things that she did to prepare herself for when she went on Survivor. And one of the things she did was go to an improv class. And I think that everybody, I think being able to say yes and is really important. And I don't know if you guys know anything about improv. That's like the number one rule is you don't tell your scene partner no, because that just shuts down the scene. You say yes and then the scene can continue on. And I think that it is something like a skill that survivors should have, because you might not agree with the plan that's being put in front of you, but if you say no, it could be bad for your game in the future. And so just being able to be like, yes, and also blah, 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 I think is a helpful thing. It's like one of the things that I think that randomly, I think survivors should, I think you should, you know, get your mind right or whatever else, but being able to go, like put yourself, and also I think it's good to kind of switch conversations. Like if somebody's walking behind you, being able to really kind of be like, hey, everything's cool.
Hey, I hate that one. That is always, I'm not great at it. And I would just, yeah, your shirt, it's striped. Like I always like go for like the clothing. I can't. I'm like, where'd you get that? I'm really, really bad at the conversation switch on a dime. It's pretty funny. Like, oh, your mom. How is she? Yeah. I can't find a natural way to do it. That's one of the tough ones. So yeah, practicing that is good because you need to do it so much. It's so hard. And when it just dies, the person knows exactly what just happened, you know? So it's, yeah.
It's one of my things. And then also in this episode, actually, another thing that I've always thought is that people should learn how to stunt, like cheerleading. And we saw
that was crazy.
I literally was like, every single time Teg was Lore being dropped right now. I was a cheerleader for 10 years. I was actually the captain of my cheerleading team in college. Went to like nationals with my like truly.
Okay, we need pictures.
They are out there, trust me. With the big bow and the curly hair and the red lip, the glitter eyes. It's crazy. I'll find
some. Please do.
But I like, I'm always like, God, all you literally like a half. A full, you so easy. Like, I could get this done so quick, but no one else would know how to do it. And then this episode, I was like, they're doing it. They're finally doing it. They're doing a stunt, and it worked, and they won.
That's funny. My best friend called me and we were talking this week, and she said, man, after seeing that episode, I feel like if I was just hanging around camp, I would be like, all right, let's make a triangle, like get in formation and just like be practicing at camp, just lifting people. And I was like, that's an interesting idea. I mean, you don't want to be expending energy you don't need, but I do think that sometimes that kind of like weird teamwork kind of things are like, if we had to kind of make a human pyramid, because like, even if it's just like, getting up the ramp or whatever, it's like, who would be the base and who has good balance that could be on top and that kind of
thing. Giant ball also, like the giant ball, when you climb over that giant ball, like there are, and everyone just resorts to just stepping on other people's like heads and bodies.
Oh my God. Okay. I don't know who was on MC, but when they went to stand on Alex's back. Okay. As a person with a prior back injury.
Oh God.
I like screamed at my TV. I'm not joking. Horrible. That was the MC has another human on top of her and then is stepping on the small of Alex's back. And I was like, my herniated disc could never.
That was horrible. That is definitely, and that is something I think Alex is.
How old is he? Is he like 22? Because like that's only one. That.
I feel like that's like a 19 year old something would do. I think he's like 28. Like he's not old, but he's also like too old for
27.
That.
27. Too old for that. Let me tell
you. Too old for that. Crazy. But yeah, so that's my Tegwiz ideas of getting ready for Survivor. Who cares about weightlifting? Who cares about whatever else? Do improv and learn cheerleading. And there you go. You're set for life.
I love it. Read an article.
Well, I do want to, I also want to say, I want to read this next episode's like
yes
thing to you, because I want to talk about how we
feel. I haven't actually read the PR thing.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah
okay. I'm got so much information here. No, I think this I got, I screenshotted this from I think like All Winter Survivor or somebody. Like, this is something, whatever. But it's called I'm a Wolf Baby. One castaway scheming gets them into hot water when their tribe realizes the same conversation has been repeated to each of them. Two castaways are sent on a grueling journey. Then one castaway's series of missteps leaves one of their tribe mates hungry for revenge on Survivor.
Okay, so I'm a Wolf Baby was definitely Sage because that was in the preview. Mm-hmm. It seems like Sage and Shannon are beefing. We had the Gabe Ortiz hug grimace, yep. Whatever you want to call that. I loved that. And
I think the missteps, the one castaway series of missteps, I saw one of the like clips of the next time on Survivor, not the next time on Survivor, but like one of the clips that they also previews. Yeah. And Jawan accidentally got Savannah's water bottle and was drinking out of Savannah's water bottle, which is like anybody, Jawan, babe, what is happening here? Anybody but Savannah. Not again. Not again.
Yeah, it's. Second strike,
which is like crazy because like I think he is genuinely just kind of floundering or like it does not seem malicious at all.
No.
Like, of all people, this like at, in the clip he like looks down at this, she's like looking for a water bottle and he just like looks down and he goes, oh no, the fear in his eyes.
It's just. Yeah. It reminds me a lot of Andy out there where it was never malicious, you know, like, but he is just like out there specifically, less in real life, but out there specifically, a clumsy guy. He drank out of Genevieve a huge germaphobe's water bottle one night and she didn't drink out of it for like 2 days, you know, like it just, there's people like it's just, it's that. And I think one of the things that 39 to 26 days does is it makes those social faux pas like a little easier to just kind of like stomach and move past, where I think if we had these like off days and Jawan is like consistently just, I mean, she says in the preview or whatever I saw, like he's irritating or whatever, annoying. Mm-hmm. I think that would, like, who knows what happens? Who knows if Jawan I don't think he goes before Jason, but like maybe. And he seems to know he's on the bottom. So he's like aware, but it feels like this thing that would be a bigger deal if there were a lot more time to just sit around and be annoyed by it than there is. And I think that is one of the like impacts that having a shorter game like allows you to do is just kind of be like, well, whatever, we need his vote tonight. But if you don't need it till tomorrow night.
That's so interesting because I've always also said that I think that the shorter game. So I've never thought about it in the sense of like off days, meaning that you have to live with this person longer. And we did used to see people being like, I can't do it with this person. I can't do it anymore. We just got to get them out. We've seen people throw challenges. We've seen people not like win a challenge, like One World win a challenge and then not go to be like, we actually don't want that because we want to vote somebody out. Crazy. But I think that, you know, I never thought about in the short game. You're right. It's not that long. I've always thought that in the long game, because you have that like downtime, it's a little bit easier for you to get over if somebody blindsides you or goes against you. Whereas in the 26 day game, if somebody goes against you, you have to go to tribal council the next day again, or like, you know, not enough. Yeah. Dinner. It's like, well, you just went against me. Now you want to work together. How are we going to be able to pull that off?
It's both. It's both. Right. Because it is both. You have so much less maneuverability when you just burned me last night than if we had a lot more time, which like every day feels like 3 days out there. So like, yeah, by the time you go 2 full days, that's a long time and things switch. People get restless. People want to switch things up. And like, you know, oh, this annoying person voted with me last night and I need him to vote with me tonight too. Therefore, I'm going to like let the annoyance go. I think it has impact on both things entirely because it really, as someone who had a hard time getting a footing, like for a bit, it really, there wasn't, you know, it's really hard to be like, Yeah, you literally lied to my face last night, and now I have to believe you tonight. And you just do it. But I think it would work better, and things would shift more if there was more time, for sure.
I find that – I think that it's really interesting looking at how – I'm really excited to see how these old school players are going to play on 50 with this shorter game. I think it's going to throw some of them for a loop. I think Suri has a leg up because she just played the shortest game ever of Australia versus the world. And I'm really excited to see how – I think that new era does have a leg up on old school and new school people because – of they're used to this format. That's all New Era has ever known. And so I'm super, super excited to see like how people are able to come to this basically new game, and are they able to adapt, or are they going to get voted out really early? I'm really excited to see that happen.
Yeah, me too. It should be really interesting. I still don't understand how they're going to get rid of that many people in that short amount of time.
It's going to be hard. That's going to be really, really hard. Watching Australia versus the world reminded me how hard it is to, because I mean, obviously the last time we saw returnees was Winners at War. And I
forgot. And then we had Edge, which is very different.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just forgot how hard it is that there's going to be a first boot out of that whole group. There's going to be somebody that's like gone first. And I just forgot that that's like, and they're going to have to do it so fast. Mm-hmm. It's going to be crazy. I'm excited, but crazy. I do have one more question about this previous episode I forgot to bring up. What beach were you on? Were you on the beach that Kelly was on, or what beach were you?
I believe so. Yeah, we were on, so Becca Beach was the same beach as, it's the one with the rock, with the circle rock.
Okay.
The merge beach. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I forget who was talking about the boat. I think it was at RHAP or something. The fact that the water washed the boat away, is that something that ever happened? Like to anybody?
Yeah. So on our merge beach on 47, no, that wouldn't have happened. We had the boat really far. The beach was very, what's the word? Had a lot of depth to it. Okay. Whereas on Gata, that definitely could have happened because we slept on the beach for the first, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. And then one night I woke up to soaking wet feet and started screaming. And we all like ran into camp because the tide, like our beach was so short that we couldn't physically lay down because the tide had come up too far. And so we ended up having to like sleep by the shelter. So the boat is right there. So yeah, if we didn't have it like tied up and or like pushed pretty far in, like right into the woods, it could have definitely floated right away. So it just kind of depends on the beach you're on. I think Lavo had kind of a between the two other beaches, like a medium size amount of sand. But I wasn't there for like high tide, so I don't know. So it definitely could happen, especially if you're not tying it up. So yeah.
Interesting. That's so interesting. I just didn't know if that was something that normally happened. Cause I think it was at the RHAP show this year where they were like, yeah, that boat's heavy. That boat is not light and it is not something that you use. It's just there for decoration or something. And it's
we
not
took really it out something. Once.
I'm sorry.
We took it out once.
You took it out.
Yeah.
But was it heavy?
Yeah, but like two people could get it in the water. You know, okay. It's not like outrageously heavy. I mean, think about it. We had to like pull it up the beach in that first challenge with like giant chests in it. So it's not crazy heavy.
It's not impossible, but it's not. Right. Okay. That's interesting. Well, before we do, I have an award at the end that I like to give to people, but before we do that, is there anything else in this episode or going into the next episode that you would want to chat about that you want to bring up?
Yeah, I guess it's like, okay. So if they're pitching this Shannon v. Sage thing, does that mean that they probably go to tribal? And if so, who do we think will prevail between the two?
That is a really good question because I think that Shannon has done a really good job at, I think that she has more connections. While I think that maybe Steven is seeing through Shannon, a little bit, I don't know that Christina or, who else is there? I think Alex will just kind of go with the flow. But I think that, I don't know. I think that it's going to be Shannon, even though I just said all of that stuff.
It does feel like we've gotten more reasons why it could be Shannon, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there is a lot more negative, like, as much as we've seen about Shannon and a lot of good things, we've also seen multiple people kind of be like, I'm seeing through this, though, which is different than just like calling Sage kind of a weirdo, you know, right. Like, it doesn't feel like, yes, she is like quirky and is like a little bit on the outs, but I also think that is Sage doing this because she knows that it like diminishes her threat level to be seen as sort of this like kooky outcast, like, mm-hmm. because if I'm looking at the two of them and I'm like, I see through what Shannon's doing, she's clearly has the ability to connect socially really well, mm-hmm. and I don't buy it, therefore she is playing behind like under the surface. Or I look at Sage, who is like her cold open to a new group of people as I collect blackheads in a jar. Who am I keeping around for my game? Like, yeah. Not Shannon, you know. Yeah. I think that and so whether it's intentional or not, on Sage's part, I do think it diminishes her threat level in a way that like is not the case with Shannon.
Yeah. I think that's a really good call. I also think that I think that Shannon could be going mainly because I would be upset. I've been upset at the edits some people have been getting this season, mm-hmm. like specifically Nicole. Nicole's edit actually pissed me off. Because what do we see of Nicole in her one episode? She gets one episode and we see her puke. We see her getting, you know, like bare, like I think she gets like 3 confessionals, 4 confessionals, like not a lot of confessionals. And then we also see her like spit in somebody's eye. Now, granted, he asked for it, but it was like, you know.
Kind of iconic, but yeah, it's not very great. Iconic. It's not great.
Like one of my favorite moments of the premiere, honestly. But I just like was not happy with her edit. And if Sage goes, I think that she would have, she also does it at this point.
Pee, poop. Yeah. Blackheads. Yeah. Not like, I feel like that confessional about Shannon in this last episode was oddly maybe my favorite confessional of the season so far, and coming from someone who we've gotten basically nothing from before that, which is really interesting. Yeah, because I felt the same way where I'm just like, can you give this girl something that is not a bodily function to talk about, please? Like, this is brutal. And I know it does seem like she is like saying this, like they never put words in your mouth. They're only showing, really show what you said, but it could definitely like change the context and be selective. And like, you know, is the 5 times we've seen her talk about it the only 5 times she's talked about it in 10 days? Cause then it's like not as bad, you know? Right. So it's just so hard. It's so hard to know. But I hope we get more of this kind of like insightful, interesting, strong POV stuff from Sage before she goes home. Like, it just feels like tragic when she clearly has such a interesting point of view.
And I think that it's pretty rare nowadays where they're casting people who are not there. Like, they're not casting people. What's that guy's name from Africa where he was there to just watch the elephants? Like, he didn't actually want to.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, they're not casting people like that anymore. It's people who are there to play the game. And so I think it's going to be very rare that there's no confessionals. There's no times where people are strategizing or people are talking.
Well, and Sage was an alternate too, if we're talking about well-rounded people.
Oh, yes, exactly.
She was our alternate. So it's exactly. Like, it is just this kind of like, you can't tell me that this is the only thing she's giving.
Yep.
I don't buy it.
I agree. I do think like it's one of those gut things. I do think Shannon is going next episode. I think she would be super interesting to see at the merge though, like with so many people and to see, you know, kind of the her two sides of, you know, more spiritual and then more religious.
Having to like reckon it in front of everyone. That would be a very interesting thing. I agree. Cause it would. Yeah. And so we think Alex is safe.
I think he is. Yeah. I do think that getting rid of Alex and or Sophie at this point is, even if he doesn't like do as good of a job I think he did a pretty good job at bringing himself into the tribe. But even if he's not doing as good of a job as Sophie, I think it's a silly time. I don't think it's a good idea to do it right now. Because if they are staying Hina and Uli strong, which it seems like they are, Uli or Hina now is down one person. And so
they have to assume that Sophie is integrated with Uli on the other side. Yeah. You're totally right.
it just seems like the time where I, you know, keep him as a number, get rid of him down the line if you need to. I just think right now where it does seem like these two sides are going at it, getting rid of a random person that is not on either side.
Well, especially like- when they see that they just got rid of Matt, right? Like, yes. So like, it doesn't, so they've lost one and they could have also like, Sophie could be with the majority. So now they've lost two, essentially. You have to scoop. Yeah, mm-hmm. You have to. So what happens if we get to merge and Alex and Sophie are now on opposite sides?
Oh, that would be amazing. I would be really interested to see if they do come back together. But I think they went through so much bad stuff because they really weren't together on their original tribe. It was Jake was their person.
Yeah.
That was the thing. It was like, Jake was in the middle. They mm-hmm. were, and then they had like kind of a dotted line here. They were kind of connected, mm-hmm. but it wasn't very solid. And then everything happens and they're like, okay, I guess it's the two of us now. But I don't think if it were like Jake and Sophie or Jake and Alex, I think that even if they were separated, they would absolutely come back together. But the fact that it's Sophie and Alex, I don't know.
I know. I hear you and I agree, but there is this element. So like, Annika, Sierra, and I, right? And Annika's, in my mind, in the middle of this trio. We call ourselves an alliance. We clearly weren't, but we called ourselves an alliance. And there was always, to me, this dynamic with Sierra of, is Annika actually closer to you than she is to me? And if so, like, I have to be careful about what I say to you in case somehow that, like, gets turned on me. And when you're in the middle of that, like, love triangle, so mm-hmm. to speak, it kind of puts like sort of a wall between you and the other person. And the second Annika went home, I had a much easier time.
Interesting.
Like it felt like that. I knew that was gone now. And mm-hmm. it was like, I know it was kind of hard before, but like, and I think we even acknowledged it, kind of me being like, I just wasn't ever sure of the dynamic. And, you know, I was worried that if I said anything to you that it might get back to her and that would like hurt me. And we were able to kind of move forward together in a pretty genuine way. So it's just hard to, it just depends, you know, like, was it because like Sophie said so many times, I'm just jealous. I'm jealous. Like I'm the jealous girlfriend, whatever. And is that why there was animosity there when there actually didn't need to be? Mm-hmm. Because it was always just both of them feeling self-conscious that they weren't actually the one closer to Jake or like, I don't know. I think it's just an interesting thing.
I think it's really interesting. And I really hope they both can make it to the merge. I think they will. And I really hope that they are able to, I think, again, it's one of those things that I think will be really interesting to watch happen and see what actually does happen. And how they go about that. Mm-hmm. Because I honestly, if I'm being honest, I think that Savannah and Sophie are really close. I don't think that Sophie necessarily cares about the rest of Uli other than that they're saving her back right now. But I think that right now, maybe Nate. But I think that Savannah and Sophie, they're it. I think they're tight. I think that they are going to go far together. Alex, I don't think has a person from what we've seen on the new Kelly beach that he's like, yep, we're together. That's it.
Yeah.
And so I don't really think he'll be a number. And I think he'll be a good number for people, but I don't know that he's going to be as tight. And I think that after saying all of the things that I just said, I'm walking it back. I do actually think that they're going to come back together because I just don't see those same connections.
Yeah.
Sophie has. And granted, now new Hina went to tribe council. So we did see more of that.
Yeah.
We did see more of those, you know, that talking, but I just didn't feel that instant.
Yeah.
Felt with Sophie and the new.
No, I think you're right. I guess we'll see more. This next episode will probably help us kind of suss out his spot in this new hierarchy. But I agree. And maybe if he has nowhere else to really go, then he definitely will turn back to her.
Yeah.
It should be interesting.
It should be very interesting. Well, do you have a winner pick for the season or are you just kind of like seeing where it goes?
I got to see where it goes. I don't know. I've never been good at it. Who's your winner pick?
Well, my preseason winner pick was Jawan. Love you, okay. Jawan.
Okay.
I don't know that that's going to happen.
Seems unlikely, but you never know.
You never know. You really never know what could happen. But I really loved his preseason press and I like his vibe. And I was really hoping Nate and Juwan would hook up, and I don't think that that's happening. But I really hope he can make it to the merge, but I think he'll go far. I think, I think he's kind of unassuming, unless I don't know, Savannah. So I feel like Savannah has a vindictive side where it could be like, it'd be like, how dare you? But
you took out my water bottle, and
you can't win them all.
God, we own like two things out there, and he's like defiled both of them. It's
brutal.
It's pretty bad.
Brutal. Okay, so I do like to end. I have a very silly, I like awards. They're very silly and fun. And we kind of talk about the next episode and the previous episode. So I like to do the Alley-Oop Award, which is basically who we think is setting themselves up the best for the next episode, or maybe for the future of the season, however you want to take it. Do you have an idea of who you would want to give the Alley-Oop Award to?
I got to give it to Sophie B. You know, like I think that it's just so... like her turnaround, the 180 from, you know, last episode or two episodes ago of kind of being the one that Alex is probably going to get rid of, to talking her way into like staying, to now talking her way into this majority alliance ahead of at least Juwan, it seems like, you know, I think she's doing a great job. And yeah, you got to root for the underdog, you know?
It's. I think you're right. And I think that she, and granted, we've seen a lot of her. So, you know, there are, I think, are a lot of people. Everyone's playing. There are 18 different games happening. Or they're now, what is it, 12 or 13, whatever. Everyone has their own game. They're all playing their own game. And we're not able to see all of those games because we only have 90 minutes minus commercials. So like an hour and 5 minutes or whatever. But I think of what we've seen of Sophie is she is adaptable. She's able to connect with a lot of different people. Like she was really close with Jeremiah. She's close with Alex. She's close with Jake. She was even close with Nicole. Like she is able to make connections with people so easily. And I think that she's using her skills when she needs them the most, which is when she's down and out and doesn't really have the numbers. So I think Sophie's the one this episode. She's got to be. I also want to say, really happy that, and I'm sad that Sophie went to tribal council, but I'm happy that Alex and Sophie both got like a rest. So Sophie got to go to the tribe with the hammock and all that stuff. And then Alex didn't have to go to tribal council. Like, I'm very happy that they both get to kind of like breathe for a moment.
Yes. Yes. I agree. It's well-deserved. Well-earned.
Well-earned. Well-earned. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thanks for having me, Douglas.
So much fun. Well, for the people who are just now listening or if you made it to the end, tell people about Puzzle Hungry again so they know where to get it, where they can support you.
Yeah. So Puzzle Hungry, competitive jigsaw puzzle game. My baby, I've been working on it all year. I'm very proud of it. I think it's super fun. And please check out the Kickstarter. You can go to playresolve.com. So like PLAYRESOLVE.com and find the link to the Kickstarter there. Hop on board. We got a bunch of people that have backed it. We got some stretch goals coming and, you know, I'm so proud of it and so excited to share it with everyone. So,
well, thank you so much. Anything else? Anywhere else? I mean, you're on Instagram, right? Can people find you there?
Yeah, Instagram, Rachel A. Lamont. That's kind of it. Technically, I have like a TikTok account, but I lurk. I'm a lurker. So,
probably better for your mental health than posting. TikTok's a rough place. It's a rough place.
You would know. You're in the trenches. Yeah,
I do. I know it all too well. Well, thank you so much again, Rachel, for chatting with me. And I'm really excited to see where the season goes. So thank you again for, you know, having a great, you know, having fun with me and chatting. For everyone else, make sure to become a patron of The Specialist or subscribe on YouTube. Do all of the things. We have a TEG Talks coming out tomorrow. Me and McKenna did a brand steal of our 10. Each of us have our top 10 men that did a brand steal for that played Survivor. So see who is the winner of that. It's going to be a fun one if you want to check that out. But thank you all so much for listening and have a great rest of your Monday.
Bye.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityCairo.com. That's AbilityCairo.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.